fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Ghana, where the local organizing committee has been inaugurated as the country prepares to host the 2023 African Games. Joining us now from Accra with more details is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Now, three cities in Ghana, namely Accra, Kumasi, and Cape Coast, are expected to host the 13th edition of the African Games in the year 2023 on dates yet to be confirmed. This would be the second time in history that the Games will be decentralized in a process that started in the previous edition held in Morocco. This will also be the second time Ghana will host the Games since the country did some 55 years ago. News of hosting again was warmly received by sports fans in the country. With 3 years to go, work has begun on processes to make the Games a success. Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo, in a ceremony to inaugurate the local organizing committee for the Games, charged its members to bring their diverse backgrounds in sports administration, both in Ghana and abroad, to bear on their new responsibility.
It is the vision of government, for the purpose of sustainability, to convert the Olympic sports facilities to be used for the 13th African Games into a university of sport for development. Mindful of our vision and determination to organize the best ever African Games and to establish the first ever university of sport for development in West Africa and the second university of sport for development in Africa.
Ghana's bid to organize the Games would not just end there when it is all over. The facilities will be used subsequently as a higher education institute. The complex, he added, will have a 50,000 capacity Olympic Stadium complex, multipurpose sports halls for all indoor sports, aquatic centers for swimming, and tennis courts as well. Chairman of the local organizing committee, Kweku Fusasari, on behalf of his colleague committee members, said Ghana has had to wait so many years to take her turn to host the African Games again. To this end, he indicated that they will ensure, among others, that the sporting facilities and infrastructure to be built will enhance the growth of the various sporting disciplines in Ghana.
We'll ensure that our athletes will distinguish themselves at the Games to win more medals for us, to move higher on the medals table, to be among the first five countries, to make themselves and all Ghanaians proud.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. As we look forward to the 2023 African Games in Ghana, let's quickly look back at last year's African Games in Morocco. This marked the first time the Moroccans hosted the African Sports Jamboree. Egypt dominated the medals table with 263 medals total, more than twice as many as second place Nigeria. Algeria finished third with 126 medals, one less than Nigeria.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerije. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. Nigeria's national football team drew 1-1 with Tunisia Tuesday in an international friendly match played in Austria. Yes, you might say this game featured a flock of eagles. Kelechi Iheanacho put the Super Eagles of Nigeria in front with a goal in the 21st minute. Mohamed Draguer scored the equalizer for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia in the 44th minute. It was Draguer's first international goal, while Iheanacho tallied his eighth international goal and first for the Super Eagles in 3 years. In other results of friendly international matches involving African teams on Tuesday, Niger defeated visiting Sierra Leone 1-0. Morocco and the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo played to a one-all draw in Rabat. Algeria and Mexico played to a two-all draw in the Netherlands. Also in the Netherlands, Japan defeated Ivory Coast 1-0. And Angola defeated Mozambique 3-0 in a match played in Portugal. And speaking of Portugal, Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo has tested positive for the coronavirus and is isolating away from his teammates. Portugal's Football Federation says the 35-year-old Ronaldo is in good health and has not shown any COVID-19 symptoms. Ronaldo had been with Portugal's national team for Wednesday's UEFA Nations League match against visiting Sweden. He was in the team's starting lineup for Sunday's scoreless draw with host France. On Monday, Ronaldo posted a photo on Instagram of the Portuguese team gathered at what appears to be a restaurant. None of the players were wearing face masks or spacing themselves apart. United on and off the field, Ronaldo wrote in the Instagram caption. Under coronavirus protocols established by UEFA, European football's governing body, all players, officials, and stadium staff are tested ahead of every match. The news about Ronaldo comes as many European countries have seen a surge in positive coronavirus tests in recent weeks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff spoke recently with Dan Friedel about a talented young crop of American players who are competing for major European clubs. Let's listen in again as Dan asks Steve, are there any distinguishing characteristics these players share?
There's a mix. Some of these guys came through MLS youth academies, developed their skills there, and then eventually went over to Europe. Like Weston McKennie started in the FC Dallas system. Giovanni Reyna was in the New York City FC youth system and then went overseas. There are other guys who are dual nationals, like Serginho Dest. He's with Ajax. He's Dutch-American, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich have been chasing him. So, you know, two huge clubs looking at a U.S. national team player. You know, he's a little bit different because he grew up in Europe. He's from Europe. He happens to have U.S. family roots, so he's eligible for the U.S. team. You know, and then you have other guys who, you know, like Christian Pulisic. He's from Pennsylvania. He went over to Germany at a young age. He was in the Dortmund system as a young teenager. He worked his way up and became a Dortmund player. So, the experiences in Europe certainly bring out the best in you individually. But there are other guys who came through the U.S. youth system and then went overseas. So there's various reasons why they are in the position they are right now.
One issue that you point out in your story is that Greg Berhalter hasn't been able to put together a training camp for eight or 9 months.
They haven't been together as a group for a very long time. They hope to be together again in November with all the European players, so they don't have to worry about bringing over U.S.-based players. They'd have all their European-based guys in training camp and play a game or two. And then, you know, there's some things scheduled in early 2021. Hopefully those can take place. We don't know. The pandemic is really in charge here. Ideally, they'll be able to start World Cup qualifying next summer, but that could get pushed to next fall. And, you know, these are the challenges for a coach, especially the coach of a group of young players who really haven't spent much time together as a unit. For the U.S. to qualify, they go through CONCACAF, which is North and Central America and the Caribbean. It's not the most difficult region of the world to qualify. The U.S. should never, never fail. They should always qualify for a World Cup. So that's where things stand. No excuses. Berhalter has to get these guys together in these camps, hopefully, and start forming a cohesive unit. And then, you know, away they go. It's, you know, U.S., Mexico, Costa Rica are the traditional powers in this part of the world. And all three should qualify for the World Cup in late 2022 in the Middle East.
Well, Steve Goff from the Washington Post, it was great to get a chance to talk to you. Glad that you're back watching soccer and talking about things like the World Cup. It certainly would have been a little sad to see some of these marquee events, you know, get put on the shelf for a while longer. Hopefully 2021 will be a year full of exciting soccer events that we can all pay attention to. Thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yeah, my pleasure, Dad. Anytime.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Our big tennis story this week was Rafael Nadal winning his record-tying 20th major singles title at the French Open in Paris. In addition, it was Rafa's record 13th trophy on the clay courts in the French capital, royally engraving his nickname as the King of Clay. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the director of the International Tennis Academy in Lagos, Godwin Kienka.
Certainly, Nadal's 13 titles at the French Open, which he achieved with the win over Djokovic, 13 singles titles, I think it's epic. I mean, the significance of the achievement is underlined by the fact that the next highest winner, Björn Borg of Sweden, has only had 6 titles, which Nadal, I think, surpassed in 2012. And Nadal also won 5 straight titles, which is won better than Bjorn did between 1978 and 1981. So, I mean, he's doubled Bjorn's record, which stood until Nadal overtook it almost 8 years ago and added seven more. So I think it's epic, and it's going to go down as an unbeatable record. For, I mean, at least not in our not in our lifetime.
Do you think Nigeria is blessed with players like Rafael Nadal?
Yes, Nigeria has a lot of potential. First, we have great weather. We can play tennis outdoors 365 days a year. We have lots of tennis courts in clubs, in schools, in private homes, in churches. Wherever you look, we have tennis courts. But the problem is that we have not had high-performance coaches to bring out these talents, which is something we've been working on. We've sent a lot of coaches abroad to attach with academies and all that, and that is making progress. But we have a lot of talent emerging from my International Tennis Academy Junior Circuit, which has competitions for players in five age groups, 10 and under, 12 and under, 14 and under, 16 and under, and 18 and under. And we just finished the tournament post-COVID, post-COVID lockdown, only on the 11th of October, last Sunday. And we have an 11-year-old kid, Shane Ogunshakin, who is a replica of Nadal. They actually call him the Nigerian Nadal. He has the mannerisms, the strokes, and the behavior of Nadal, which is a good thing. And we hope that in another 5-6 years, some of these young players will come through and start doing well on the circuit.
What efforts have they made to raise and expose young tennis players in Nigeria to international tournaments?
Well, in addition to identifying all these talents through the junior circuit, we've been exposing them to international competitions. They have the ITF West African Circuit, which the Nigerian boys have and girls have dominated. We already have one of our bright hopes, Mary Love Edwards, who was in the finals of the senior event, a senior national championship at age 14, 2 years ago. She was at the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy for 2 years and came back only because of the pandemic. We have Oyinlamo Quadri, who at 16 is the national champion for Nigeria. So we are hoping that all these stars, all these young hopefuls can come through and become the best that they can be and become great players. So we are partnering with the ITF at the Morocco camp, and we hope that that those results will begin to manifest in a year or two.
That's Godwin Kienka, the director of the International Tennis Academy in Lagos. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hey, this is Kienka, director of the International Tennis Academy. It's glad to be on the sunny side of sports once more.
Welcome back to the show, Godwin Kienka. During the coronavirus pandemic, some sports stadiums in Uganda have been used to quarantine and treat COVID-19 patients. One top health official says he greatly appreciates how these sports venues are supporting the national response to the coronavirus crisis. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature by Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala.
Dr. Rita Dibosa, the head of COVID-19 response team in the Bikoro district of Eastern Uganda, says Njel Training Center was selected because it's isolated and is spacious, thus has less chances of committing transmission of COVID-19.
It is well fenced. The whole place is under a very good fence, so there are no possibilities of somebody who is suspected of being positive of mixing with the communities around. So, and with the security on the gate, we make sure that these people are localized, even within the facility localized. They are not allowed to move out until they are released officially after getting results from the samples taken from them.
Located more than 80 kilometers away from the capital Kampala, the facility has received at least 100 people suspected of COVID-19, including Kenyans, Tanzanians, Rwandans and Ugandans, mainly truck drivers. Dr. Bosa is grateful sports facilities are directly playing a part in fighting the coronavirus disease.
Like in jail is being used to quarantine the suspects, and they are being planned to actually be isolation or treatment centers in the future in case we get many cases. These facilities have been availed to Minister of Health, to districts. This is very good, and it is the evidence that sports or sports facilities are being supportive to the national response against COVID-19 in the country.
Ahmed Hussein is the spokesperson of Local FA, Federation of Uganda Football Associations, or FUFA.
As an institution running football in the country, and also on behalf of the football family, we believe that we can also play a part in saving the lives of those who have been, of course, affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. We can't attach any value to what, of course, the institution was going to spend during the period. Maybe the center is active, but we believe that many other people out there have also done the same in supporting the national task force that is trying to fight the pandemic.
Usually, the facility works as a training ground for junior and senior national teams. It also hosts both local and regional youth tournaments, including SECAFA. COVID-19 is highly infectious and can stain some surfaces for days. Dr. Bosa says they always fumigate the stadium and will disinfect it once the coronavirus pandemic has been overcome, so the stadium can be safe for use again.
As soon as we discharge people from that that facility, so we make sure that whenever a new team is coming in, the place is fumigated. Whenever they are moving out, we actually use this, the inmates themselves, to fumigate the place. And when they go away, we still fumigate. And at times we get teams from the Ministry of Health who come to fumigate quarantine centers.
In related development, FUFA this week approved the appropriation of the FIFA COVID-19 relief grant of $500,000, which will be allocated to local clubs in coming days. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dr. Richard Bosa. I'm the District Health Officer of Ikwe District in Uganda. I want to greet all of you and thank you for the support you've done to the country and to the whole world and the humanity in the fight against this pandemic of COVID-19. And I ask you to continue preventing this disease. First of all, to get to you, but also to you people who are near you, by keeping distances, putting on your face masks, making sure that you observe the cleanliness, you sanitize, you regularly wash your hands, and make sure that we stay healthy, so that when things cool down, so that we go back to our sports facilities, use them, entertain us, and keep healthy generally. Thank you so much for all the support.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Rain on me. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Finally, this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, Yao Ofusularbi in Accra will be back on Thursday's show with a spicy report on Ghanaian midfielder Thomas Partey, who recently made a high-profile move from Atletico Madrid to Arsenal Football Club. And And that wraps up the October 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.